Today we're in finishing up Ephesians 5:14 and then getting into how to walk carefully in the Christian way of life. And that will be in 15 through 21. I think we'll have a few lessons in there. We'll see how far we get. But we had seven in walking in the light, so I imagine we'll have a few here too under walking carefully. So before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And that simply means for us that we can confess our sins privately to God the Father. And we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to learn the word and also apply it in your lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for just getting everything together as you do. Our people just make it happen through you. Everyone has the right motivation, and I'm very thankful that these things are taking place. Just everything that has been set up in the kitchen, in the church, I thank you. Thank you for just everything that you do in our lives. Thank you for this country, this church, and our people. And I just pray that you can illuminate your word in a way that changes our hearts and allows us to make decisions in accordance with your son, his mind, and who we desire to follow, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Thank you for this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we're up to walking carefully. And let me read from Ephesians 5:14, what we've been going through here. And it says, "For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." So, on Wednesday, if you remember, we kind of continued the discussion on the walk, the Christian walk. And we arrived at verse 14, and that's how we underlined the words that we were focusing on there. And we talked about, this is about believers who are asleep at the wheel when it comes to responding to God. And I think it's a very pertinent topic, especially in our country, because this has to do with responding to God and living the spiritual life as he has laid out in his word. And, you know, it's kind of hard to find nowadays if you think about it. But that's what we do. That's our goal. That's my desire, is to get it from the word, give it to you so you can have it and follow it, and we can all be in accord. Because remember, it's one mind that we're studying. It's one Bible. It's not many different views. It's just one. And I'm not saying that I have it all right, but I think we collectively as a church body should have it more of a unity there when it comes to what we do or how we do it, right? So that's what we make an effort at. And remember, the word sleeper in verse 14 meant, this is referring to the believer who is the sleeper, disinclined to exert oneself when it comes to seeking the truth, which means they're slow to heal, grow, develop, or they are inactive when it comes to their attitude toward God and the spiritual life. And believe it or not, you've all been there at one time or another. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, there's times or even extended times where we slept. And I think this verse is more referring to those extended times, but it just goes to show you that there's a wide range of the sleeping, right? It could last a week, it could last months, it could last years. And so it really goes across the board, but what it does to us is it makes us inactive when it comes to pursuing the solutions from the Word. And that's the most important thing that we should be doing. And so, naturally, what do you do when you have a sleeper that won't wake up? You yell at them, just like this verse does right here. It says awake, wake up, right? That's the command to wake up. That's why it says wake up. So you yell wake up, which we can see in the verse, the first command. And really this is designed to be a warning, I think. It's just a warning, right? It's just saying wake up, alerting you to the fact that, okay, you know, when you wake up, you just open your eyes. It's just, you know that there's something that you need to do. And that's really all you know at that point. You might not want to do it, but you know there's something that has to happen, right? So this is a warning. And just like all warnings, we can choose to respond to the warning or not. But when we don't respond, sometimes, you know, we hit that alarm, that snooze, over and over and over. We continue to sleep. And that's why it says, it goes into the second part of this, and it says, arise. It just doesn't say just open your eyes, right? It says get up, get out of bed. Sometimes you have to make yourself stand on the floor so you can walk, right? Depending on how tired you are. But you get the point. It takes the volition of the believer to go in the right direction to because we've been given the verse. You know, it says wake up. And so arise means coming from the believer's standpoint and from your motivation to move in the right direction. You remember, you're trying to get out of that inactivity, trying to get out of that slow process of not healing, of no change, maybe of circumstances just making you just too burdensome. Now, that's being inactive. The Word of God allows us to have much more than that, because not only can we get through things through the Word, through applying it as he would see fit, but watching him solve issues. Now, that's not inactive at all. When you can watch God work in your life, there's no inactivity there whatsoever. It's just a matter of where are we in that spectrum. Remember the train? It just keeps moving. And it's a matter of whether you're on board or you're just sitting there watching the train go by. So there's two things here, and, you know, I think this is the alerting us of the need. And as you already know, all commands are what? They're for our benefit. They're for our benefit. They're designed here for God to show us, and that means they're important. I mean, you know it's important to wake up in the morning, right? Just as it is in your spiritual life, because you have somewhere to be. You know, when you wake up, you either have somewhere to be, you've got something to do, you've got someone to see, you have, maybe you just need to start your daily routine. That's important. Your Bible study should be first on the list, right? You've got to get up first. You have to wake up. And then the arising part, see, it starts the flow of the where you're going, and it starts movement. And that's how you start your day, is to arise, is to move to the position to get going to that first point in your day. And I think that's what this verse is focused around, because a lot of people aren't here yet. And I think we can provide assistance in this area and encouragement, but it's always good to see it where it explains it straight from the scripture. So that's what we're referring to. And if you're like me, if I sleep 30 minutes later than I normally do, I feel like half the morning's blown by. I don't know why, but 30 minutes isn't that long. But I look at the clock, I'm thinking, wow, it's already 8. You know, this is getting a little bit far in the morning. And that's how we should feel when we are in our spiritual life. You know, because there's inactivity at times, and we're under the clock, right? We're time's a ticking here. And so when we sleep in the spiritual life, we're talking about consequences that aren't just missing a couple hours or an hour or 30 minutes. This is spiritual repercussions that we're seeing or not seeing, right? So it goes both ways, and that's the point of the waking up, because as you already know, there's consequences to not doing so, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to see it. And really, it's fortunate. It really is, because God, he loves us, And he makes it a point not to allow us to sleep too long. We keep hitting that snooze, he's going to rip that clock out of the wall and just lift you up. Or at least point you to that clock in a gracious way. Well, it might hurt a little bit if you get to that point. So nothing stops. Time on this earth doesn't stop. Life doesn't stop. God doesn't stop. And when we do that, we're essentially throwing away time. And we all know people, friends, family, members that are in this circumstance, and they're just throwing away that time. We want to get to the point where we see how important it is to have that forward momentum in learning about who our God is. Who is He? I want to know who He is. I want to open the pages of Scripture and I want to teach you about Him. I want to know about Him. I want to live it. I want to think it. I want to do things that are glorifying to Him. And that takes time. It takes spending time with Him. Just like a person you want to get to know, what do? You spend time with them. And what happens, they rub off on you, you start to think like them, you start to talk like them. Well, that's what we want to do with Jesus Christ. We want to start to think with His mind by spending time and walking with Him on a daily basis. And that seems like a burden, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's not a burden because it does things to you that are beyond your imagination and more powerful than we could ever know. And just think about the output of that, the contentment that you have, the joy, the things that come in your life. You're able to get through problems that seem to be so hard before, but now you're resting in your faith and you say, you know what, this isn't my problem. So just the outflow of this is just amazing. So there's great importance. God is trying to wake people up the easy way. I think He does that through His Word instead of the hard way when something catastrophic happens in people's lives. And we all have people that we love and we know, and we don't want to see that point come where it gets to that catastrophic point in their life. And this verse has, that's why it has the back-to-back commands to wake up and then to arise from the dead, right? Arise here meant to come, appear, to carry out a function or role, or to initiate action. So you see the arise. That's what we're saying. Not just the eyes, but show up, present yourself, at least be willing to move in that direction. That's all God is asking of us. You notice He never asked a lot of us. He just asked us to be willing, to have a desire. And we're going to see this a little bit more as we go through this. And this is where I left off. And the point I was trying to make is that you've got to follow both of these commands in order to start being useful in your spiritual life. You've got to follow both. We have to wake up. We've got to stay awake. And we have to show up to whatever path, whatever direction God has for each one of us, because it's custom. Remember, you've got a personality, you have a body, you have a soul, you have a mind. And He's designed each thing specifically for you. And in order to know that customization, we've got to get in tune and show up and be willing to learn about it. Because He will show you. There's no doubt. His Scripture, His Word tells us that He will. So arise, or wake up and arise. So first, I think the wake up is to recognize that there's a problem. To recognize that there's a problem. And some people get to that point, but some people don't get to the point and seek the solution in the right direction. They may wake up and say there's a problem, but then they seek people. They seek solutions through things, through therapy, through other friends, through, you see the point? And you can follow that chain and you can play that out a while, but you're going to end up going back to the same spot you were earlier. You've got to come to this point of showing up to the right position and not seeking direction from human solutions. We have to seek these things from the spiritual. It's got to come from the spiritual, or we're spinning our wheels. We're actually throwing away time. There's a lot of human alleviations that are temporary, that may seem beneficial, and I'm not saying that all these things are not beneficial, right? There's some things that, you know, humans, we do that we need to do, that can alleviate things. But when it comes to things like spiritual problems that are soul issues, like unhappiness, depression, anger, there is nothing that a human can do except that is temporary in that field. These are spiritual problems, and I always say it, they have got to be solved with spiritual solutions. And that's not going to include a pill. That's not going to include a counselor giving you advice. Although maybe that's part of the process. I'm not necessarily saying, no, you're not supposed to do that. No, I believe those things were designed for a specific purpose. But at the end of the day, all you need to know is they're not lasting. They're not permanent. And I think if we're all on that understanding, well, then we can better direct our paths to go back to the true solution and who's there and always open and willing. By the way, he doesn't cost any money. His counseling does it. It's absolutely free. And the pill he gives you lasts, and it works. But some of these things, inevitably happen because people don't show up or desire to make the changes for the better, and that results in the divine discipline that I already talked about, because they've basically brought it on themselves from sleeping. And what happens over time is sometimes you see that it increasingly becomes too painful in people's lives. That discipline gets worse and worse. Some of those things include, and you know, we experience all these, but when I go through these, think about a lifestyle of this, not just temporary. Unhappiness, depression, bitterness, anger, frustration, stress, always unsatisfied, fear, both in living and dying. Fear, always afraid of something, being miserable with themselves and in whatever relationships they find themselves in. In addition to all of these, let's not forget about all the physical pain and sickness that God can allow to happen to individuals to get them to the point of recognition. This reminded me of, you know, seeing a lot of things in hospice. You get to see this. You get to see people that have been asleep for all their lives, believers in Jesus Christ, and you get to see the very end of their life. And it ain't pretty. It is not pretty. These are people that are going to heaven, but they're experiencing divine discipline from God because they've rejected the divine procedure for their life. And they've done it on their own. They've tried to take a path that looks good, may look pleasing to people, and may do all this and that, may be very well off in this life, have a very, you know, established credentials. But when it comes to their spiritual life, they're feeling it. They are feeling it. And it is sad. And it's hard for you as a person to see this. It's hard for you to see someone that was such a nice, sweet individual going through the things that they're going, but let me tell you, it's justified. It's justified. Because the way God works is He loves us, and He also has something called justice and righteousness. And when He gives us an option and we choose not to take it, He has every right in the world to discipline us. Just like when a child doesn't do something that you desire, you have a right to discipline them. And look where that's rooted. Love. It's rooted in love. It's trying to get them to come to a point of recognition, and if they're past that point, they end up dying what's called the sin unto death, which is not fun until the moment you die. Because some of these people won't turn. They won't change direction. They're in this position, and you know, this affects mental capacities. This affects physical, unable to move, unable to eat sometimes. Hard time breathing. I mean, you name it. It's there. And that includes family members. Family members stealing from them, from their own mother, father, not treating them. I mean, it's abuse, some of these things. And that's all part of the grace of God that has given us the freedom of choice. God will protect you, and He will be faithful to you if you are faithful, if you allow Him to come in your life and take control. We don't want to get to the point of neglect and disregard and all these things that just because we're comfortable or because we're pleasing to people or because we want to do certain things my way. No, we want to do things God's way so he can actually do the, you know, we can see things come to fruition as designed in his word. And if we can, you know, get around this discipline, so be it. And we've got every opportunity to do so. And you might be thinking even still, you know, why does God even allow these things to happen? Well, I kind of just explained that. And that's because God allows us to choose our own course in life. So even during the times of sleeping, we may get off track, go astray. God's love always responds and his justice. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." He disciplines. Even as the father corrects the son in whom he delights. So he loves you. He just wants to see the best for you. And at times, we don't always recognize that. We may get the discipline and may look to other directions to get it fixed. If someone truly loves a child, that love must include discipline. It has to. Do you see that? To correct their course or to keep them from going astray, you've got to have discipline. If you don't have discipline, guess what they're going to do? They're going to veer. They're going to sleep. They're going to get off course. And that all starts way back there as a child. As a child. 9 out of 10 people in prison had not enough discipline when they were little kids. All that, those bad decisions all come from not enough discipline as a kid. Because the mom wanted, or dad wanted to make them feel good, wanted to make them comfortable, didn't want to hurt them. That's not love. If you want to correct them, if you want to love them, guess what? They need to feel a little pain. They have to. They have to have things happen that they don't like or they don't want to do. Because you know what? They don't understand. They can't see the end of that road. But you can. You're trying to get them to a place in their life where they go the other direction. And you can't do that by no friction. It takes some heat, right? It takes something to for them to come to the recognition and say, okay, that was not what I was supposed to do. And a lot of these things you don't understand until you're, you know, 20, 30s, 40s. Okay, that's why that happened. That's why this is why we're, you know, why we're here, because I, you know, I needed that. You know that now. So without discipline, there is no love as defined by the word of God. Yeah, there could be human love. And you know what? Grandmothers are excluded out of this for some reason. I don't know how they get the free ticket, but y'all do for some reason. I'm really speaking to parents here. But even if you're, you know, you're, I think that's really the, I think a grandparent can come into play here for sure. If the child gets out too far out of line, right? So it starts way back then. And that's why God always tries to get us back on course the easy way. Just to keep our options open. Many times a person doesn't recognize that they have a need until they've run out of options. If they know they still have an option, they'll go around and they'll keep doing the same thing. See, they won't stop and change course if they know they have options. And that's exactly what happens to the sleeper. Don't ever take it for granted that you have options. It's, you know, you got to think about that. We've got options. You have a lot of options. We can show up to church. We can study the word freely. We don't have to go hide in someone's house. Think about that. There's countries that have to do that. That's against the law some places. We can go to the store. We can buy food and that's stocked. Prices aren't, you know, they're rising. Everybody's like, yeah, they're pretty high now. Well, they're getting up there, but we can still do things. You can fill your car up. There's options. That goes back to a spiritual standpoint. That's because God is blessing us to have the options available. Many people don't have the options that we have, not nearly the options we have, especially when it comes to the justice system. You can make the argument ours is broke, and it is broke. But you know what? It's still partially working. There's still a couple of cylinders hitting on there. So we've still got some options. And all this verse 14, reminded me of, I'm sure you've heard of something called the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening in American history. This verse is what it's all about, is the Great Awakening. And I just wanted to talk about that a minute, because it's a great example here, because it has to do with the same things that we've been talking about. Sleepers. Awaking, arising. Now, there's many opinions on some of these things if you do your research, but most people recognize that we've had at least three or four of these waves of people waking up and coming to the understanding that they need God or they need to get closer to the truth, back to reality. And that happened from the early 18th century all the way up to the late 20th century. And there's a range of dates in there. But the first one was probably in the 1720s through the 40s or 50s is when that happened. You might recognize some familiar names. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield were a couple of the big ones. The causes of these things, why this happened. Religion had become a cold thing. Denominational, man-made tradition had become more important than the word itself. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Religion had become formal and institutionalized and less about a personal relationship with Christ. Religion dominated. The denominations in the colonies were divided and consisted of Quakers, Anglicans, Lutherans, Baptists, Presbyterians, Dutch Reformed, and congregational followers. And there's many more. So there were divisions and spiritual growth had grown cold. A bunch of different views, and the growth wasn't there. It was stagnation there. Get the point? Religion had become more formal and less personal during this time. Everybody was kind of going through the motions, which led to lower church attendance. Christians were feeling complacent with their method of worship, and some were disillusioned with how wealth and rationalism were dominating culture. So you can see that the stage was set for people to wake up. You can see how it was. And boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't it sound exactly like what we're dealing with today? Now, this next reading is from a quarterly journal to church leadership called Reformation and Revival. And this is an article written by John F. Thornbury called Interpreting the Great Awakening on page 64 to 66. It's from 1992. He says, although it is difficult at times to sort out reality from exaggerations or other distortions in the revival phenomena of the day, there is certainly enough evidence to convince anyone that during the awakening era, God worked supernaturally both in Great Britain and in America. During these glorious days, the realities of the eternal world were keenly felt. Sinners were brought under powerful conviction for sin and were converted by the thousands. The saints of God rejoiced. Churches doubled, tripled, and quadrupled overnight. An impartial observer had to be impressed with the moral and spiritual changes which were taking place. George Baxter, president of Washington Academy, visited Kentucky during the height of the Second Great Awakening and wrote, I found Kentucky the most moral place I'd ever been in. A religious awe seemed to pervade the country. During the awakenings, infidel clubs closed down, houses of prostitution were boarded up, and other vexatious social problems were at least temporarily solved. So it's interesting to know that this is only 100 years after the pilgrims got here. Remember, they were gung-ho. There was a motivation to seek God. There was a motivation to get to the truth. They had just left salvation by works, and they were coming in to preach justification by faith alone in Christ alone. They were getting back to the basics. This is less than 100 years later. So see, this is going to come. This is going to happen again. And I think we're kind of there, feels like, doesn't it? It just goes to show that it doesn't take long for people to get to the point of feeling the effects of religion, which is a lack of motivation and complacency in the spiritual life. Satan just rocks people to sleep. And look how long it takes for them to recognize it. It takes a while. It takes a while. And we've all been a part and associated with religion. It's no secret. I'm speaking to the choir here. I've been a part of it. You've been a part of it. We know how it operates. And some are better than others, right? They're not all horrible. But you get the point. Satan has a very subtle way of not only blinding, but extending the time of the sleep. When all of a sudden you get to rock bottom and you say, okay, we got to have something else. We need something else that's working. I'm just checking off the boxes now. I'm going to church. This is becoming monotonous. There's no spiritual power in this. Where's the Holy Spirit in all this? I'm going through the motions. And when you get to that point, you almost got to say, good job, Satan, because that's what he wants. He wants you to extend that out. But that's what we're trying to wake up earlier, right? So this just goes to show it doesn't take long. What I said could also summarize the awakening by saying that our Greek words sleeper and then to awake and arise fit perfectly well right there. And that's the exact same thing that we're seeing today. You know, I've heard many people say that we're going to have another revival. Y'all probably heard that. We're going to have another awakening that's going to come. And, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But I also think that we've got to have some discipline. I don't know if that's going to come before, during, or after, but I don't think you can have a revival with no friction and discipline that comes with that. You don't get here and get a free ticket to get off just because everyone decides to make a change. Making a change is one thing, but each decision that has been wrong and against God and rejected Him has to be taken into account. And if that is the case, we'll see. It'll be interesting. But we do know that why the word awake is in the imperative mood. You know, He can tell us, He can warn us. He can command us, but to get up and move to the place of making positive decisions in the right direction is a different story. And light exposes darkness, and eventually all will be exposed. I read this, and that exposure, by the way, happens through you. And you can contribute to the waking up of sleepers. And I wanted to read this. This is from wallbuilders.com. It's a very good site, by the way. You need to check it out. It's got an accurate description of American history, actually in a lot of history. And this is from their website. It says, in short, there would have been no American Revolution from 1760 to 90 without the First Awakening, which was 1735 to 1770, they're saying. The founding fathers who gave us the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were young men during the Awakening. This revival shaped their faith, character, worldview, preparing them to give birth to an exceptional nation. What they considered to be the first Christian constitutional republic in history. It also gave the American people at large the qualities necessary to live in liberty, including self-government, morality, biblical worldview. That's going away. Regard for life and a fear of God. So good things resulted, right? Right after that, what do you have? Declaration of Independence, 1776. Constitution, 1787. Bill of Rights, 1789. I mean, there's good things that happen out of these things. So, awake sleeper and arise from the dead. And that's why we have this from the dead here. We've already talked about arise, but you see the separation from. Little bitty word, from. May seem small, but this is a preposition used for separation. And it's why it's translated from, or out of, or away from. And we've kind of already talked about this, but part of waking up and arising is separating from the things that are dead. Separating from the unproductive things in your life and going to the productive and to the things that are living and alive. I think that's a big piece of this. It's just like when you die, your physical bodies no longer have any value. You don't need them any longer. So what are you doing? You're leaving them, you're separating from them, and you're going to the new resurrection body, right? Or interim body that you'll have, that God gives you, that doesn't have all these flaws, the sin nature in this body. So there's always a separation process that comes with this verse. Separation. And that must happen in order to get to the better. And then we have, and Christ will shine on you. You see the word in green there, the Greek word. It's epiphosko. It's a verb, future active indicative. And it means, or can be translated, to shine upon, to give light to. And I like the way this lexicon says it. You can see it in quotes. It explains the meaning as Christ will pour upon thee the light of divine truth as the sun gives light to men aroused from sleep. That's kind of a neat way to look at it. But isn't that what the Word of God does to us? It shines on us, in a way. It shines on us. It motivates you to get up and to move and to keep going, right? It shines on you and it gives you light to provide spiritual sight in a dark world. It shines on you so you can have an understanding in the midst of confusion. It shines on you to have confidence in the midst of no confidence. Surety, where everyone is unsure. Contentment in the middle of turmoil. That's Christ shining on you. That's the shine. All thanks to the light. The light, remember, the light in Christ are two, the synonymous here. That's the Word of God. So that's what the light does for us. That's the truth. And then you see it's future. See, future, F-U-T, active, indicative. So the indicative is telling us that those who wake up recognize that they have a problem and then arise and then take the necessary steps to the solution. And then what does this say? The indicative mood says this is a reality. God will cover the rest. This will happen. This is a reality. God will shine on you. He's just saying show up. He's just saying get up and I'll take care of the rest. I'll do all the shining. What, all those things that I just listed in the life that you can have, He provides. And it's saying this is a reality that is going to shine on you because you've woken up and you've shown up. So God covers it if we just try. And sometimes I like to look up just English words that I already know just to see what the dictionary has to say about them. Try. I looked it up for you. It means to make an effort to do or to accomplish something, to attempt. Doesn't that sound easy? To attempt. So when you hear somebody that's been in a certain rut in their life for an extended period of time, guess what all they have to do? Try. Attempt. Just make a little bitty effort to go in the right direction. God will take care of the rest. So when you hear somebody say, I will try, that's all I'd like to hear. That's the most you can do, is try. The most you can do. That's the most we can do as believers, as growing believers, is try. That's part of being positive. If you try to go in the right, you make an effort to do or accomplish something. Same thing with us or the individual that has fallen off track. You just have to try and continue, maintain that trying. Maintain that attempt. I just heard that the other day. I'm going to try. I didn't say a word. There's nothing to say. That's the words that you want to hear. I am going to try. That's it. And that's all God requires. Isn't that grace? He's saying, you don't have to go through the XYZ. You don't have to go through the steps. You don't have to run around the church. You don't have to roll down this aisle with your hair on fire. You don't have to do all that. You just have to try. Try. You would think he would have made it a little more difficult, but he didn't. He didn't do it. Just show a little bit of effort. Be willing to change. Be willing to know what God's word has to say about the matter. And then the active voice saying what? That means the subject produces the action. Well, who's the subject on the shining? Christ. See? This is really an all-encompassing statement because he provides the spiritual food you need to accomplish whatever he has for you in 2022 and beyond. He provides everything. That's the active voice. So much, in fact, that you don't even have to worry about the future. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to worry about the future. That's a good spot to be, by the way. That's what the Word gives you. That's part of the light package that is shining on you. Right here. Christ will shine on you. Christ is shining on you, by the way. Because I'm assuming you're not all sleeping every day in your spiritual life. There's some shining going on here. Hopefully more than not, right? So, it lets us see the reality of what's happening and uncover Satan's deception so that we don't want any part of it or want to do it over again. That's what it does for you. So the people that are asleep and have been asleep most of their life and are now trying, that's what it does, and you don't want to go back. You've seen that. You've seen that path. And you say, you know what? I don't want any part of that because I've seen the Word of God. I see what it has to say. So then next time when we come back, we'll look at verse 15. It says, I'll just read it. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Christians, not as unwise men, but as wise. So another good verse. And when we get back, we'll talk about it. Don't get too full. I should be speaking to the kids. But I already warned them, so let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just the visibility that you give us, the spiritual insight through the Holy Spirit that allows us to not only explain it, but to understand it in our souls in a way that we might not necessarily completely understand, but we know it works. We know it works because your word tells us it works. And we know that it changes our thinking in a way that our life is changed by that. And we're so grateful for the season, so grateful for the things that you're doing in everyone's life. And most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ. This is what we're leading up to the event, even though we know that every day is Christmas. Thank you so much for the work, the person of Christ who came to this earth and died for everyone's sins. And that was the gift that you wrapped and put under the tree for us and made it a salvation gift. Your word says we've been saved by grace, and that's through faith so that no one can boast. And it's your grace that we are allowed to accept the gift by simply taking it by faith. For God so loved the world that he sent his uniquely born son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's it. Thank you so much for that gift. And we ask that you bless this day continually. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.